Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Hello, and welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Today we have a very interesting show. We're actually going to be sharing some training tips today on how to train your well-behaved dog to become a service dog, and also how to train your maybe not so well-behaved dog to be a well-behaved dog. Well, we had a very interesting and very fruitful week. We were actually down in, Cornell University School of Veterinary Medicine, lecturing to the vet students up there and the animal behavior students. And it was very exciting because it's a unique technique, unlike anything else that most people have ever been exposed to. So, you know, a lot of times we hear when people are saying, you know, what we're doing and what we're kind of, how we're training our dogs, that, you know, a lot of people say, well, how do you train a dog to smell a seizure? Or how do you train a dog to be a service dog for an autistic child? Well, when people start telling us, oh, I learned how to train a service dog, or I want to learn how to train a service dog, the problem is that most of the time, they're not understanding that a service dog, it's kind of like saying, I want to learn how to drive. Well, do you want to learn how to drive a truck, an 18-wheeler, a motorcycle? Do you want to ride a bicycle? Do you want to drive a horse, a sulky with a horse? Do you want to drive a train? Do you want to drive an airplane? People don't realize that it's a very, very interesting and difficult thing to do, to train dogs to do different things. So we don't use food. And at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids, we don't believe in using treats and food, and we certainly don't believe in ever using anything like a punitive or negative kind of a reinforcement. We just believe that the dog should learn how to do what we ask them to do in a very natural manner, in the way they would learn in nature from their mother or from other dogs. So what we're looking at is having dogs who are not being told what to do all the time, but dogs who are doing it truly being service dogs, who are actually trying to understand what they need to do by based on what we are teaching them. So, for instance, we do certainly a lot of autism service dogs. Now, I know this is going to be really, really eye-opening, but we have actually a number of people who have fostered for us or who have worked with us or who are in United Canine Professionals who have actually fostered for some of the other agencies out there. And we don't believe in naming names. But we do believe in telling people what's out there, and buyer beware, please. So one of the things is we had heard one agency in the Northeast, of course not Merlin's Kids, but another agency that appeared to be pretty big and reputable, but apparently wasn't so reputable, that they are actually selling for anywhere between $22,000 and $30,000 dogs that they claim are autism service dogs. Well, these dogs are not trained for anything other than, and this comes from two fosters, to sit, lie down, and give a paw. Well, I don't know about you guys out there, but to me, that's barely a well-trained pet. But those same dogs, and as we learned, we had a rescue one that bit a child very severely in the face. And we heard another, the mother actually was picked by another one from this agency. But people are very interested in making money. And I don't begrudge anybody any income. But, you know, when you're dealing with the broken hearts of people and the dreams that they have for their child, when they finally say, wow, I've managed to fundraise $22,000 or $30,000, and, you know, I begged from everyone I know and all my friends and all my relatives and people I don't even know, and they felt pitiful. You know, I was pitiful, and the situation was so sad, and I was really embarrassed. But I did it. And now we got this dog, and the dog is out of control, or the dog is aggressive, or the dog is fearful, and it really doesn't do anything. My son loves it, but unfortunately, you know, the dog is not a service dog. It's not even a well-trained pet. That really bothers us, and that's one of the things that United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, we really strive to always put out 100% and to put the best dogs out there, out, so that when you do get a dog through us, you know the dog is going to be well-trained, well-behaved, and it's going to do the job which it was selected for. You can't just say that any breed or any combinations of breeds is going to be a perfect service dog on its own, but there definitely are certain traits that certain breeds have that make them maybe a little bit better at something than perhaps another breed or combination. But you have to always look out for, you know, unfortunately, it sounds terrible, but you have to look out for what's out there and make sure that when you choose a dog or you choose the agency, that you look them up, look on Better Business Bureau, Google them, ask them for references of other people who have dogs, ask them what specific things will you train my dog for my child that are specific to my child. Because, you know, let's face it, if you have a service dog for someone who has autism, and the dog is certified, we don't certify the dog just as a service dog. We certify dogs in team with the human. So what you need to do is make sure that whoever it is that trains this dog is from a certified agency that does not have any negative things against it, that has, you know, let's say just a lot of good publicity and a lot of good things and a lot of Facebook people following it, because that's a great way these days to know. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in our next segment. And we're also, in later segments tonight, we're going to talk about how you can train your dog to certify or to work with your child in therapies and other things. So please stay tuned. We are going to be right back in a few minutes with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, in our first segment, we were talking a little bit about people making sure that they understand to be careful and to be very aware of what's out there when they're looking to purchase a service dog from an agency. I hate to have this conversation at all because it's very sad that we have to have the conversation, but unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there nowadays who are, you know, maybe even having the best of intentions, but really don't know what they're doing. One of the things that's very helpful in choosing someone, whether it's a local trainer or a reputable agency, is to ask them what their expertise is. How many service dogs have they trained and what type? For instance, if you're training, if you need to have trained, a service dog for, let's say, for a person who has a physical disability. Ask them how many dogs they have trained and ask them to see either video of them training the dog and making sure that the dog is actually doing what they're supposed to be doing, or even better, see if you can check references and ask them for three or four, not one, but three or four people who have a dog with those specific characteristics that were needed for the service dog. Also, look at what kind of dogs they're producing. Do they have all one breed? Do they breed dogs specifically to make more service dogs so that they're making money from selling those dogs? And if they are breeding mixed breed dogs, ask them why they're breeding mixed breed dogs or why they're using those particular mixtures and what qualities those dogs have that other dogs who might be purebred don't have. So there are a lot of questions out there. But what I want to do today, I really want to focus on the exciting part of actually finding that right dog and realizing that, hey, this dog can do what I need him to do. How do I go find somebody to train my dog? And how do I find somebody who's going to be able to understand the special need for which he or she is training the dog? This is a big issue because if somebody is visually impaired, that person has a unique perspective on how to train a dog for someone else who's visually impaired. If the person has perhaps a seizure disorder, that person would be uniquely qualified to train a dog for a person who also has a seizure disorder. Diabetic alert dogs. The best diabetic alert dogs are trained by diabetics. So that's why actually having a lot of health issues, as I do, actually have a couple of them, makes me very well qualified because I know what it's like to have those issues, and I know how to teach the dog to alert, and also other little things that you might not think about. For instance, going to the men's room or the ladies' room. Well, ladies, we go into the handicapped stall, the larger stall, and we can go in with our dog, and guess what? There are things you have to teach the dog about waiting for you in the bathroom. How about when you go on an airplane? You're not going to fit my 100-pound Wyatt into the stall with you. You can barely fit 100-pound Janice into that bathroom, let alone 100-pound Wyatt, as well as 100-pound Janice. So there are definitely things you need to do. There are ways to train any dog who's going to be a therapy or service dog on elevators, on airplanes, on trains. But I want to talk about what we were just mentioning about walking into a restroom. Well, if you've got a restroom and the ladies are training the dog for a man, well, guess what? Men's rooms look different, ladies. Some of you might know that. I won't ask you how you know that, but men's bathrooms look different from ours. So if you have somebody with an issue, a man, and you're a female training that dog, you're going to have to find a man to help you at some point training the dog to go into a men's room. Because a men's room has urinals, which look kind of like water fountains for dogs. So you really have to teach the dog for that individual. And that's where we at United Canine Professionals, which you can reach us on unitedk9professionals.com, and at Merlin's Kids, merlinskids.org, that's where we really try to make sure that we train the dog specifically for that individual, boy, girl, man, woman. Because depending on the lifestyle of the human, we have to select the correct dog to fit into that lifestyle. So that gets back to what we just spoke about a minute ago. If you're looking for a service dog and you're looking for, let's say, a golden doodle or labradoodle or another mixed breed that's got poodle in it, and those dogs tend to be very hyper. Not everyone, please don't everyone call me and tell me you have a calm 5-year-old golden doodle. They do calm down eventually. But the propensity, the tendency is for goldens and labs and other active breeds, and mixtures of active breeds to be very up and animated and hyper for many years, sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes five. And if some of my clients, behavioral clients who listen to our Friday show, which is called For the Love of Dog, also on this great network at 7 p.m., also, a lot of these people say, well, you know, I have a 5 or 6 year old golden retriever. I wanted to train him to be a service dog, but he's just so active. Goldens are awesome dogs. They're not all, you know, exactly the same, but they tend as a breed to be a pretty happy camper kind of breed. But if you have a dog who is a very happy, happy, joy, joy breed, and now you want to train it to sit in a classroom with a child for 8 hours a day and not do a lot of activity during the day, it might not be the best choice for a service dog for that child, because the dog's natural tendency is going to be for it to be active. So when the dog gets up and wants to play, we get mad at the dog and say, oh, he's not a good service dog. Well, geez, what was your first clue? He's a 1.5 year old goal. He wants to play. So don't set your dog up for failure. Please try to set your dog up for success. If you set him up for success, he has no choice but to succeed. If you set him up for failure, well, he has no choice but to fail. So please stay with us for our next segment, where we're going to start into some fun training tips and some basic behavior for you to use with your dog. And please stay tuned. We'll be right back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we were talking about kind of a caveat emptor situation a little while ago, making sure that you're actually purchasing a service dog that's from a legitimate agency or a legitimate person who is specially trained and understands not just the dog, but understands the need of the person, the individual, who is going to receive the dog. And while we're talking about that, it's funny, I had a phone call. I'm actually driving back from Canada. We were up at Niagara Falls doing a great event up there. And we stayed at an awesome bed and breakfast named Sunny's Roost, which we stay at every time we're up there. And I was actually teaching students at Cornell University School of Veterinary Medicine about canine behavior. So it's very exciting that so many youngsters, and we call them youngsters, they're in their 20s, of course, are so interested in learning new ways and proper ways of rehabilitating dogs and working with dogs so that they're not so stressed when they're going to the veterinarian. Well, stress isn't only common to dogs going to the veterinarian. Stress is also a very common part, if you're not careful and if you don't know what you're doing, in training a service dog. Because you have to understand that the dog can't be on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The dog needs to have some time off. And unfortunately, a lot of dogs out there are really not having that time off. And because they're not getting the time off that they need, what winds up happening is their bodies get stressed. We actually use a couple of really awesome products. One of them is I use an organic dog food that keeps the dogs very healthy. I do also use a good scoop of organic yogurt. If it's a young dog, you can use whole milk yogurt, but use organic. And if it is an older dog, you could use the non-fat or low-fat. And that's the kind of thing that will help your dog to become stronger and healthier. We also use an awesome vitamin supplement, which is called NuVet, N-U-V-E-T, which we use for our all of our service dogs, all of our rescues, and I even use for my own Rhodesian Ridgeback. We were actually talking at Cornell about that, where they have the commercially, well, large company brand dog food. I won't say which one it is. But, you know, the problem is, it's what's in the food. And we're going to be talking a lot about that on this Friday's show, which is on the same network here, with it, which is called For the Love of Dogs. And I am also the hostess on that, the hostess with the mostest, hopefully. But the NuVet vitamins are great because they do keep the dogs healthy and hopefully as little stress as possible in the dog. And then we do use the NuVet vitamins, and we also use the joint supplements. And if you need to order it, you can do so. It's actually, there's a code so you can actually order it. It's 40560. You can use that code, and then you can get actually auto shipped. You can save 15%, but that's what we use. I did forget to mention that last week. We had a lot of people asking about nutrition, and perhaps we will cover that in a future show, talking a little bit about how to keep your service dog living a long time. So let's get back to some of the little things that we can do for our dogs to keep them healthy and to keep them training healthy. Well, one of the things is, please try not to do everything with your dog in one day. You want to use basic behavioral techniques instead of using techniques of cookies and training collars and, you know, treat pouches and, you know, all those things and a lot of words, because you want your service dog to do his job without being told. The exception to that is for seeing eye dogs, where a competent over 18 handler with no other issues other than the visual issues would be able to tell the dog what he was looking to do and where he was looking to go. But other than that, for a seizure alert dog or for a diabetic alert dog, why I'm saying that is, when you're looking at dogs, don't look at the name of the company and say, oh, wow, that's like the International Diabetic Alert Dog Association. Because you know what? A lot of these people just make a fancy-sounding name, and then you look that person up a little, the company up a little, and you find out it's some lady who's had, you know, maybe she's trained two dogs and works out of her garage and is, you know, just trying to make money. I'm not saying that a particular company, but please just, again, buyer beware, be aware of who you're dealing with, okay? So when you're training a dog and you see the dog start to shut down, that's a common phrase we hear. That means you push the dog too much, or that the dog wasn't ready for that skill or for that individual or group of tasks. Now, we see this a lot in younger dogs where they shut down because we push them too hard. When you have a young puppy, and as most of you know, we use mostly shelter dogs that we train train and train hard, train very well, but very gently, to become service dogs. We look for the individual dog who has that ability. We look for the dog who already wants to alert. We look for the dog who goes up and smells the breath and is already very attuned to smells or attuned to energy. Those are the dogs we take, and then we train those dogs using what they have naturally. Because otherwise, you're taking a dog. It's like, you know, if you take a dog who doesn't have that natural ability, and now you're training him to do something that he really didn't want to do, that's kind of like having, you have two children. One is a 5-foot-tall little girl who's maybe 15, and then the second guy, or person, is a 6-foot-8-inch, 300-pound, huge man, and you say, okay, I want my son to be a ballerina, and I want my daughter to be a linebacker. It sounds silly, doesn't it? Isn't that ridiculous? But people do it. That's why when somebody is using one breed only and claims to train service dogs for every different type, you know, that's one red flag for me. So stay tuned, because we're going to be right back with some more training tips. And we will be right back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dogs to Service Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, we were talking right before the break about how to make sure that your dog doesn't get so stressed that he shuts down. And we've seen this when we train our dogs and we're out in the mall or we're out on a plane, occasionally we will see someone else with another dog. And what we've noticed in one particular time was a very young, maybe year old, very sweet German Shepherd, little boy. And this dog was just panting. And he was in the mall. He was barking. And he was panting. And he was obviously very stressed. He was probably between 12 and 14 months old, which is actually the worst time for dogs to be exposed to great stress, because they're right towards the end of their fear, impact, and flight instinct period. So in other words, this would be a time that if something were to go wrong, it would make a very big impact on the dog's future. So this is one of the things that we at Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals are very careful to not push the dog during these phases. Now, dogs do go through phases from 2 to 4 weeks. They go through their primary socialization. They go through from 8 to 12 weeks. They go through their secondary socialization period. And they continue to go on in and out of fear phases pretty much from the time they're about 4 to 6 months old. They start going through these phases until they're 14 to 15 months old. So you should never accept a service dog unless the person is going to continue to work with you very, very closely. You should never accept the service dog that you're paying for that is less than 15 months old, if no other reason than to make sure that the dog does not have a bad experience that can ruin the dog. Now, the one reason we at Merlin's Kids choose to use rescues and shelter dogs who are not puppies, but who are, let's say, already 15, 16, 18 months old, is that if we are able to get these dogs who are already past these critical stages of development, then those dogs have much less of a chance of having a problem in the future than if they actually, had been puppies and they're going through these issues now. So once the dog has already gone through in and out of fear phases, flight impact, fear impact and flight instinct phases, and now the dog is already 15 months old, we know that now we can take that dog out, and he's pretty much what he's going to be as an adult. So we definitely want to make sure that we select a company, and preferably a company who's a legitimate company that you've done background checks on, that is going to stick by you and make sure that you are set up for success with your dog. So now you've got your dog, and let's talk today about what I've been asked a bunch of times, going up and down staircases. What's the proper way to go up and down the staircases? Well, there are a lot of different things and different options for going down the staircase. But one of the things is that you have to look at is, again, what kind of service dog are you training the dog for? What kind of person? Is this a physical support dog? Well, first you have to look at each obstacle as what the goal is. If you have a child with special needs, let's say who has cerebral palsy, because we actually have several children with different muscular dystrophy, cerebral palsy, and different physical support and physical walking issues. So assuming that we're trying to train the dog to go up and down the stairs, you want to look at what the goal is. First of all, is the goal to help the person by pulling the person and giving the person an upward support? Well, if it is, the dog is going to have to be one step ahead, literally, one step higher. And you're going to teach the dog, obviously it's not as simple as I'm teaching you, but you can get a general idea. The goal is to have that dog one step forward of you so that he's able to give you that gentle upward support. But remembering that some people need to go up with one foot and then not reciprocating, which means you're one foot and then you put your second foot on the same step, or reciprocating or ambulating, perambulating, which is walking how we normally do, one then the other. So you really have to know if the person has a balance issue or if it's just literally giving a little extra help coming up the stairs. You want the dog one step ahead, and you always want to train the dog to do one step at a time. Don't ever start or allow the dog to go up more than one step without stopping. And you want to teach him to hold that gentle pressure, kind of like those of you who have driven a stick shift and you have your left foot on the clutch, you have your right foot on the gas. But when you put your right foot on the brake on a hill and now you first go to step on the gas pedal, for that split second, you slide backwards. That could be deadly for a dog who is working with a special needs person or child, adult or child, who has a problem with balance. Because if he has a problem with balance and the dog backs up or lets off that little bit of upward pressure, even though he stopped, he's still got to hold his body forward slightly to make sure that he's got that pressure so that the person holding on doesn't fall backwards. Now, I have taught many people, I don't even know how many, people who wanted to learn how to train service dogs, and I've taught them this technique, and they don't understand it until I do something like I did this weekend at Niagara Falls. I had Kyle, and I had Melissa, Jennifer, Jody. Well, what we did is we were teaching them, Wyatt and I, how that works, where when we're coming up or down, how the dog has to be able to feel through the vest where that person is and making sure they're not pulling that person off balance. It's a very, very tight little balancing act, but it is something that you can do. And if you have a great desire to learn how to really do this, you can contact us at merlinskids.org. 855 Hi Wyatt, HIWYATT, 855 Hi Wyatt, or go to merlinskids.org. We will be right back with some more training techniques in a few minutes with From Shelter Dogs to Service Dogs. Stay tuned.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-caller technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Callers that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-caller technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecaller.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today we're talking about training techniques and we're discussing how to keep your dog stable on the step. Now, it's very important to understand that when you're training a dog, any dog, you never want the dog to be fearful or never want any kind of a correction to be strong or sharp. We believe in behavioral rehabilitation, which is UnitedCanineProfessionals.com. That's what we do. And we use our techniques from United Canine Professionals to help the dogs at Merlin's Kids to become the best trained and best behaved service dogs out there. Well, part of that is having a trust with your dog, and we're talking about that on the stairs. If your dog doesn't trust you and you can't trust your dog, you're not going to have a good relationship with your service dog or with any pet. That's why it's so important that if you do correct the dog for misbehaving or doing anything at all that could be perceived as a correction, that you make sure the dog understands it's coming from you and it's just a gentle touch. And we talk about that every Friday on our other show, which is called For the Love of Dog. So we believe that when you're training your dog, you need to have a lot of trust. There needs to be that back and forth bond. And the only way to have that bond is for the dog to believe that you're not going to hurt him or allow him to be hurt. That's a very important concept. So let's talk about, of course, going on the step, going up the step. So if you've got someone who's trying to come up the step, or even if you're trying to train a tether dog, you don't want to let the dog back off of the pressure. Again, imagine that instead of your dog pulling you up a step, because he's not pulling you, he's supporting you as you ascend or go up the step. So it's going to be a very, very important concept to have that trust and to have the dog trust that he's doing the right thing. If you make too strong of a correction when, let's say, you're going up the steps, especially when you're first starting your training process, and let's say the dog feels a pain, let's say he hurts his foot, or he's being corrected in a way that he doesn't understand, or he has a backache, and he feels some kind of a sharp pain, and you're bringing him up the steps, and now he loses his balance, he loses his intent, he loses his focus, and you yell at him, or you hit him, God forbid, or you shock him, or you poke him, he's going to trust you less, and he's going to think that the job that he's doing, that he's not doing a good job at it. He's going to start to lose confidence. That's where a lot of people break down their dog. They actually break down their dog because they over-challenge and over-tax their dog while they're training them. So when you're going up a step, a staircase, train the dog one step and then tell him, okay, and then go up the rest of the steps naturally. Or better yet, see if you can find a place where you can train where there's only one step. I used to train dressage horses. Dressage is that beautiful riding that they did in the Spanish riding school. And I actually have and breed and train and sell Lipizzan horses, Lipizzan stallions, which are very, very intelligent, incredibly intelligent. And one of the things I used to teach people when I would train them in their horseback riding is set your horse up for success, not for failure. Kind of like what we do at United Canine Professionals with dogs. Set your dog up for success, not for failure. Well, if you can understand, think for a moment about a horse. And imagine that the horse, you're trying to teach him how to canter, which is like the slow gallop for those of you who don't know what a horse is. Well, if you're trying to train him to do that perfectly for 10 minutes the first time he's tried it, you set him up to fail. Try to get one step at a time and reward that one step and give him pets and tell him good boy and hug him and snuggle him. And then let him have a few minutes to kind of break his concentration and move on to the next or the same path, but making each time a new moment. If you take a young dog, or if you take a dog who, let's say, has any kind of fear because he's anywhere between 4 months and 14 months, which is when they're going in and out of fear phases, and especially between 8 and 12, those are the two intersecting and overlapping fear phases. If you try to make him go up 8 steps and he went up 7 perfectly, you just set him up to fail. So now instead of rewarding him for doing one great, you're punishing him for doing the second one wrong. That's a very interesting, very important concept. So we've also had quite a few people emailing us this week about how they can get involved in training service dogs or getting involved in training their own dogs to become therapy dogs or service dogs. Yes, United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, yes, we do that. So we do have classes in New Jersey. We have classes in Texas. We have classes all over the country in different sections of the country at different times of the year. We've even had classes scheduled in Anchorage, Alaska, and Fairbanks, Alaska. So yes, we go all over. But if you have what you think it has what it takes, and you think, wow, I want to do this, and I want to rehabilitate dogs, and I want to make a difference in the world, and I want to sit behind desks pushing papers around, I want to work with dogs, I want to work with special needs kids, or I want to rehabilitate dogs so that they don't wind up in shelters or rescues or euthanized. If you want to make a difference in the world, help us, because we don't have a problem with teaching people what we know. We want more people to know what we know so that we can make more available, not less available, to have high-quality, super well-behaved, super well-mannered, super well-trained dogs and service dogs all over the country. If you think you have what it takes and you'd like to ask, you can contact our board of directors by contacting us through our website at www.unitedk9professionals.com. That's United, the letter K, number 9, unitedk9professionals.com. Or you can call our 800 number, which is 855, the number 4, K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S. 855-4-K-9-PROS. And you can also reach us on Facebook and on the web. And the most important thing to remember is take care of your dog, take care of yourself, and join us next week for From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.